And I think, yeah, now what I would like to share today, which is an important aspect of my practice and of my path, is trust. I like to speak about trust. Some years ago, a friend of mine that lives here in the village has a very important car crash with his wife. And he explained to me, like, how it was when he opened his eyes just when he came back to consciousness, because he lost consciousness. When he opened his eyes, like, his car was all over the place. Parts of his body and of his wife's body were all over the place. He opened his eyes and he see that. It's like, wow, the magnitude of, it's like, he described very in detail what he saw. And then he also described in detail how something very strong came within him, kind of a certainty that whatever is needed to be done, I'll do it, and I'll make, from this moment I start again, and I will do whatever I can to recover as best as I can. Like a kind of a, whatever will be, I'm open, I'll do my best. And this is something that we hear in the Dharma, like it's starting now with the conditions that are now, without building up, oh, I wish it didn't happen and it should be differently, and we waste a lot of energy there. It's just like the conditions are there, you can't argue with life. We just lose energy arguing with life. It is what it is, and we start now. So we're practicing this, we're trying hard, but it's not easy to learn. And this friend, he has no spiritual background at all. And it just came on him like this. So for me, stories like this and many others, not that big also, many small stories, shows me with no doubt that there is a very intelligent process at work within us all the time. This, what is going on in and around, is extremely intelligent, and something knows already. Like this knowledge that came to him wasn't learned, just came like that. From where? I won't try to explain, but we can see it. And we can often see things coming like that. And often, very quickly, we think, I thought this and then I did that. But this is second hand. It first happened. And then the I recuperates the story. So I think in my practice, in the way I view my path, I need, as I explained, my two first talks were very much on looking deeply, sharply, exploring, questioning, you know, like really putting an intentionality, an effort, control, experimenting. And that's half of my practice. As I said, time is short. I don't have the time to explain you all the details and ways where it goes. But another half of my practice is just resting and trusting. So we have had this discussion already. We've had also with Anna several times. And so this balance, I think, is very important. If we're just exploring, looking in depth, directing our gaze, concentrating, I think it can be that sometimes we're just too much in the way. We should just stop and relax and trust. That's something within knows and is also at searching. One time, I was in a retreat in Austria with a ski touring, very interesting concept. And I was with a small group of Austrian people in a hut with no road around, only snow. And then I was about to go and give a Dharma talk. There was Dharma talk, then meditation, just like now. I leave the meal, the bell ring, and I felt something strange on my eye. So I go in the bathroom and I see my eye full of blood. Whoa, it was shocking. And I thought, what happened? And so I called the manager, and he was just arriving, and he called the doctor. We have one doctor with us for the ski touring. And she told me, I don't know what it is. We need to wait. If in an hour you still see the line straight, it means no problem. Like it's only in the white, some small vessels that blew up, no big deal. If your vision starts to be not straight anymore, then we have to be very fast. And which meant taking skidoo to go down, and then a long way to the first hospital. Yeah, it meant a big thing. And I was about to give the talk. So I said to the manager, can you announce that we'll switch? We do the meditation first, I give the talk after. And I arrived, not looking the people like this, and I laid down for the meditation. And then I just, during the whole meditation, I knew if I start to think about it and to engage with the emotional response, I'm dead. It's gonna take the whole meditation. I'll be swollen, especially because there was maybe some possible insecurity, but also I was leaving from Austria to India with a group, and all. So what it meant if I cannot go was enormous. So I knew there's a big danger there that I enter into these kinds of thoughts. So I was lying down, refusing all thoughts about that story, and there were none other. Was trying to enter was always the same what if, wanting to think about this. There I felt very quiet, and I didn't leave any thought coming in, because it was too dangerous to start. I know if it starts, I will never be able to stop it. Once emotion take over, the rational mind can't do anything. So, and it was a very quiet meditation, very clear, very beautiful meditation. I had a very beautiful moment, that moment, because I was very aware. It was too dangerous to let go, to let a little bit of the story enter. And then I opened my eyes, and the straight line was still straight, so I could give the talk. I could explain my meditation, because that was very alive for me. So what I explain now, that became part of the talk. And I was very scary, like people could not watch me because of the blood. But it stayed like this for quite a long time, but nothing else. Again, of course I practice meditation, so we can explain how I got the idea to keep thoughts and emotion away. But still what I felt is like there was something supporting there in this moment, so that such big emotion were trying to enter, and there was such a big peace. It wasn't just my Denis concentration trying to hold. There was an atmosphere of support. I felt held in that moment, and there was much beauty. So I think it's interesting to reflect on, to search signs of intelligence of life and to notice them more and more. Outer life, inner life, whatever. Like seeing, oh, this was so wise, and where did it come from? This was such an answer that fit in the moment, sharply, it's so quick, and and it didn't come from me. Where did it come from? To raise the awareness of that intelligence at work, to be unmarveled, that's a word, is it a good English word, unmarveled? How would you say astonished? By the complexity. It's so complex. Look, just this group, being for 6 days in this condition, and we survived. Like from atoms to cells to digestive system to the whole chemical of the body, to what we eat from outside, all this food coming from so many different places. It's so complex. Do we handle all of this with our thoughts? Is it me that is doing it? Or is it something that is happening because it's very intelligent and that's what life does also with animals, with plants, and the trees communicate together when there's an invasion and they communicate very precisely one the other what they should do, which kind of chemical they should. That is something I heard about, or the birds finding their way for such a long time. This intelligence is so much there. And can we pretend to practice a Dharma just on our own will and on our own strength, with our own effort? I think we're just missing the point. Sometimes one image that always comes to my mind when I come to this subject is when I saw Lanza, my son, like he's born here in the village, and after a very long delivery. So when he came out, and a very touching moment, of course, I didn't know if he was a boy or a girl, and I forgot to watch. So for 10-15 minutes, I just had a child, and then after I saw it's a boy. But very soon, what was touching is how we found the breast and start taking milk. How did he know? How did he know? He was inside the belly, just first time ever coming out, he find this. How did he know? So this is us, this intelligence. It's not outside of us and sometimes comes. It is. It is there. It is what we are. It is what is searching, it is what is thinking, it is what is eating, it is what is relating. Nothing is outside of it. One saying that I like very much, it's very confusing, so don't think about it. If you listen again the talk, then you take time to listen. But from one guy from the Chinese tradition, and his name is Wei Wu Wei, and he said, what we are looking for is what is looking. Like very much. You can take time, it's like a koan or something like this. But this intelligence is not something other. So sometime in practice, we need to let go of all our efforts and just rest into that. Is that an intention or not? We can keep discussing it and look into it, but not giving our practice any direction and trusting. One time a friend of mine who is involved in activism with the Extinction Rebellion, she was in Paris and she was in a protest in a supermarket, and they were kind of blocking the supermarket, and then the French police came and they first made sure that there were no camera anymore, and then they became violent. And she was in the middle of that. And with a few others, there were three, four, I think, they just sat and start meditating, eyes open, watching this violence. And then she told me after that it was so overwhelming. And suddenly she just felt huge compassion for the whole situation, including herself, the whole, something very strong coming to her. And it was so mixed feeling, because there was love. Love is pleasant. There was pain, there was suffering, everything was there so strongly. And she's a practitioner, meditation since a long time, but she didn't try to practice compassion. It just came. It came on her. After some time, then very kindly, a policeman just approached her and said, "I think, madame, you should go." Was the end, and then they left. But yeah, very touching and amazing. How is that happening? So I think there's the intelligence of life, and I think we can prepare ourselves to receive it. Maybe that's that could be a way of seeing our practice, is preparing ourselves to receive the intelligence of life, or to have the openness and the right kinds of tools or whatever. Because I think for her, her practice of meditation helped so that this happened like this. Because she had familiarity with the compassion practice, then it came so strongly to her, and so easily and so fully. For me, I feel that my duty is to do my best in this life, in all areas of my life, and for the rest to trust. And I have the feeling, the deep conviction, that if I'm doing my best in all situations, life will take care of me. If I'm doing my best, if I'm at service of life, if I'm trying to be supporting life in any way around me, then I will always have the support when needed. Something will come and I will see clearly. I will always, that's my deep conviction, if I'm serving life, which is practicing actively compassion, which is engaging these days very much in supporting the planet and anything that we need to do around like social disparities and all the unfairness that we can see in the world and the climate and every, like, if we see what surrounds us and find the best attitude, then, if we're doing our best, then the moment wisdom is needed, wisdom will be there. It will just be there. That's my deep conviction, which means it's not that if I'm serving life, I will never be sick, or I will never be living in a war, or I will not be under injustice, but within any condition, I will find a way. Because I feel at the right place, and I have done my best to be at the right place all the time, and I feel that there's an intelligence into that. And I think we can find this in the teachings of the Buddha also, when we see the Eightfold Path, which is like Buddha said, like, "I'm only concerned about suffering and the end of suffering." He said that many times. And the path out of suffering that he proposed was the Eightfold Path. And the two first one, which is right understanding and right thoughts, are kind of the wisdom section. But then after, you have right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Right means that does not create suffering. Right understanding means an understanding that does not create suffering, not something that is ultimately true. That's that. I would love to have 5 hours to explain you that, but I don't. But right understanding is not doesn't mean it's like this and not like that. It doesn't mean that in the way I see it. It means an understanding of life, of the situation, of anything that does not create suffering, a way of seeing that does not create suffering, right understanding. So that's the section of wisdom in the Eightfold Path. And then you have these three others, right speech, right way of living, and right action. That is ethic. So it means very clearly that in his proposal, the Buddha says that if we want to end the suffering for us as well for others, we need to find and to work on ethic. What is ethic is another big, huge discussion, but we all somehow have starting points within ourselves about where we are ethical and where we're not. We all know some places where we're out of it. Can be the way we eat, or we don't respect the body, or what we eat and where it comes from, or whatever. So many directions. So the Buddha, for him, if we want to end suffering for ourselves as much as for others, then we need to engage in reflecting and acting in an ethical way. No freedom without that. And I think this is very different, because there's a huge emphasis on this. While, for instance, this approach that I dearly love, Advaita, I quoted a few times Nisargadatta Maharaj, which is one of my dearest teacher, but I don't find that there. I find very much non-self, ultimate awareness, almost like this is not existing, the world doesn't exist, you know, so not so much care comes out of this understanding and this way of viewing. In Buddhism, I find fantastic that the teachings are leading to non-self, which means no separation, no I and you, and at the same time, compassion. It's like, it takes a lot of skills to accommodate these two views together. But it's so beautiful because it doesn't refuse the world at all. It says like, when you understand non-self, then everything looks magic because it's appearing. It's there. It's not that it's not there anymore. It doesn't say that it doesn't exist. Emptiness doesn't say things does not exist. It says things does not exist in the way we think they do exist. And when you understand, the more I understand this, the more, and I'm just little in this understanding, but already what I can see is there's more and more magic to what appears. It's more and more magical. My life and what I see around. It's more and more magical, resting on nothing, groundless, yet appearing. So, in the Eightfold Path, three of the 8 points, the two last ones being right concentration and right meditation. The two last ones are meditation practices, but three major points are ethic. How are we in the world? And there won't be, in that view, realization without working on ethic. It's not only practices of wisdom, realizing non-self, practicing concentration and meditation, that's not enough. We need to transform our beings into beautiful beings, because when we are beautiful, we see life beautifully. Because the subject, what is seen depends on who is watching. So if you're a very selfish person practicing wisdom because you want to save your soul, and then and not working on becoming a more someone who lives with dignity and with a beauty of spirit, then the way you look at life is still creating problem. So as subject, we need to transform ourselves as well, practicing ethic. It's very confusing for me because I've met teachers who I really believe they have a strong sense and understanding of non-self. And yet they're very problematic in their behaving sometimes. There are still problems, not sorted. And I think because it's a full, big, beautiful picture that we need to take care about, not only one section. So there's a tendency when we come to meditation to be a bit fancy. I fell in that tendency for maybe 20 years of a little bit negating my body, negating this reality that is not so real, so maybe not real at all and maybe not even existing. And so who cares? Why caring? And you hear a lot of that in the Dharma. And especially in certain Dharmas. And that is very problematic. Problematic because this is existing in a certain way that we don't understand. Okay, we don't understand the nature of reality, but it appears. It appears, and the way it functions is fueled with love. So it needs to be loved. We need to be loving. And that's also very pleasant, so it's a win-win situation. And loving means not only in the ideas and in the heart, but in action. Loving means protecting, taking care, acting. So we need to be actors. We can't reach wisdom without being in action. I believe. You check for yourself, you do what you want, that's where I'm at now. I would have said differently 10, 15 years ago. That's the beauty of the Dharma, always changing. Come again in 15 years, I'll say something else. So if you feel that there's beauty in what you feel here, in what you hear, in what you have understood, in what you're living here, then, for instance, about compassion, you can listen to talks, so many beautiful talks on compassion and books, and I will send you a letter with some books and all that. Listen, read, practice meditation, follow your path, go towards non-self, but also getting out there and acting is part of the spiritual path. I think that's what I want to say. It will open up insights. If we go out and if we stand for life, maybe it can be anything. It can be helping someone in the bus, it can be going to a protest, it can be deciding to eat a bit differently. So many directions. But if we walk on this path of more attentiveness and taking care of the outer, more listening to the inner master, I would call something within us that knows there are some adjustment needed. Step by step, not the big picture. Okay, I can already stop a little bit this, start a little bit that. Enough. Next step will come. Insight will come from this. If we don't move there, if we don't act, our practices are stuck. That's what I feel. It's from acting that it unblocks the depth of our realization. And when the deeper our realization, the more we'll be able to act. So it's like the egg and the chicken. it's interconnected, non-separable. It's just one thing. Thank you for your listening.